In this video, we sit down with a guy called Dale. Dale Carter. Now, he was an electrician, but guess what? He's now a full-time property investor. He's making over 10 grand a month from serviced accommodation and buy, refurbish, refinance deals. You're going to learn so much in this.
As soon as I was leaving school, I went straight into an apprenticeship as an electrician, and then I ended up leaving and setting up my own business. The main reason why I ended up going into property then is passive income and financial freedom.
Dale nearly lost his life at 19 years old, and now he's gone on to build a multi-million pound property portfolio, and you're going to learn exactly how he's recycling his money in the real world to buy deal after deal after deal using creative finance, using purchase lease option agreements and his own trades team.
Ended up having a bike crash when I was 19, broke every bone right side of my body, life support machine, quite a big accident. Now it's just rolling on because the house that I paid the 63 for, that remortgage is going to pay for that one. It's just recycling that money. I'm not really spending my own money now.
He even reveals how one joint venture netted him £10,000 in the very first month. So you're going to learn so much. Get ready, sit back, and don't forget, if you've not already, to subscribe so you don't miss future property success stories on a Sunday.
So the contractors just moved in. They're booked weekly for 8 contractors. So they're taking the 8 upstairs rooms at £2,850 a week. And then the apartment side, which has got 2 rooms in, that's doing £3,000. The net figures on that should be about £10,000 profit. It might be a bargain at that price anyway. If you can get a bit more off, it's a benefit, isn't it?
Hello and welcome to Samuel Leeds Success Stories. I'm your host, Patricia Masuda. Today we're sitting with my good friend, Dale Carter. Welcome, Dale.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. So if we can start when you were kind of a teenager, just, starting off with your professional career, what did that look like?
Yeah, so as soon as I was leaving school, I went straight into an apprenticeship. That's what they do, the careers advisors recommend. Electrician, doing my apprenticeship as my electrician. Everything's going fine. Ended up having a bike crash when I was 19, just about
like
to qualify. Yeah, motorcycle, yeah.
How did that happen?
It was actually my brother knocked me off it, but he didn't know it was me at the time. Put me into a lamppost, broke every bone right side of my body, put my ribs through my lungs, support machine on it and off it for a few weeks. I had a tracheostomy, had to have surgery on that 9 months later.
What's a tracheostomy?
So tracheostomy, when you put it on a life support machine for you to breathe, that's where they put it in you. Instead of your mouth, they put it in your neck. So I end up having to have an operation 9 months later to have that took out. They sliced my throat, sliced it again, took that piece out and stitched my chin to my chest for a week.
What?
That was it. So I didn't break it. Otherwise, they said I'd bleed to death into my lungs.
Okay.
So it was quite a big accident.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I went from there then. I went about a year later, I ended up back in work, but just not on the tools as an estimator, which obviously helped me then for the progression of going back onto the tools. And then I end up leaving and setting up my own business. So my own electrical contracting business, with an old clapped out van, took a big risk. I had 2 cars on finance. I had a mortgage, but I just didn't want to do the job that they wanted to send me working away for 6 months. So I end up leaving, setting up on my own, and then just built it from there.
How long have you been on your own?
20 years.
20 years. Yeah. And do you enjoy sort of, you know, running your own business with a couple of electricians working for you?
It's not the worst job in the world.
Yeah.
It's quite easy now. I've got everything in place and it's all structured right. I don't have to do a lot myself. I'm not really on the tools as such, although I am this month because we've got quite a big job on. But then really I'm quite hands off on it, and I can sort of have a bit of time to do my own stuff. My lad ended up doing a lot of racing, so I could, by having my own business there, as I had time to be able to take him and do stuff myself.
What kind of racing?
So he was go-karting. He started when he was 3.
3
years old.
How started. Can a 3-year-old go-kart race?
He was
race?
The youngest kid in the UK to do it. he was in all the papers, the Daily Star. He was on the Good Morning Britain. He was doing really well. In 2022, so a couple of years ago, he won the Super One Championship with a last lap overtake to win the championship, which was a very proud moment.
Really? Is that like the race
to win? That's the same as what Lewis Hamilton won when they all started. Lewis Hamilton, Lando Norris, George Russell, all of them, they all won that when they were starting out.
Wow, so he clearly has a talent for racing.
He does, yeah. And then that leads it into where I ended up then realising that I'd run out of money. Well, not run out of money, but wasn't spending what I actually needed to spend to keep him at the front when he'd move up across.
How much were you spending?
Yeah, but in the next year after that, we'd moved up and I spent approximately £80,000.
£80,000?
Yep.
Did you buy him a 911?
I probably could have, but I never.
You could have bought a house with that.
Yeah, I could have, yeah. I bought one just recently for less than that.
For less than that.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So you need more money to fund this.
The main reason why I end up going into property then is, from the racing then, is it's passive income and financially freedom. So you've got the time and the money coming in.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't you just hire more electricians and grow your electrician company?
Yeah, I could do that. And I've done that in the past. We went up and I had about 10 lads working for me. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up dropping back down. It's okay, but my problem as well is a lot of trust and being able to trust other people to do stuff. And I'm quite controlling as such that I want to know what's going on with everything all the time.
Yeah.
So when we went up, then some of the lads would let you down and they wouldn't turn up or they didn't be in and they'd be ill or whatever it was, all the different reasons. But obviously the type of jobs that we do is you can't have that, because if we don't go in and put all the cables in for the kitchen that's getting done, well then plasterer can't come in the next day. And that's a big knock on, and then plasterer might be booked up for 2 weeks after it. So it has a big knock on effect, which you'll see all that and you'll know that in BRRs. You'll know how that works. So it was quite a bit of stress when you had more people. So that's why I downscaled it then to less people again.
Mm.
But so I could go that way and build it up again. But I think property is the way forward, because not only the property, you get in the actual asset, which is then also going to go up and it's going to give you the generational wealth.
That's it, right?
So it's consistent instead of having to work for that money.
Okay. So then, you've got this successful company for 20 years. Yeah. And then you made the switch over to starting to invest in yourself and be in property yourself.
Yeah.
And so how did that work?
Yeah. So I ended up thinking I was clever. I went and bought a property or paid the deposit for a property in a modern method of auction property. And I paid the £7,000 fee where you'd have to pay to get it. And I thought, I'll just remortgage my house, which I just renovated. So I'll just remortgage that and get the money and just buy it. Clearly, it's not that simple or that quick. It's not that quick when you're going to do it within 56 days.
Yeah.
So in that I bought that in January and I went straight to a pound crash course of Samuel's to obviously get an insight. When I was there to get the insight, I ended up paying for the next lot of training, gone that, and then I was joining the academy. And then that helped me then progress through purchasing that modern method auction property.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I paid for the course, I ended up getting half of that back straight away just from that first buying that first one, because I saved on stamp duty that I thought I had to pay it and I didn't, which I got taught straight away in the academy that you don't pay that. You don't need to, because it's got no kitchen or no bathroom in it.
Uh-huh.
So it's unhabitable, it's unmortgageable. You don't need to pay it.
Yep.
So I saved money straight away. So it was a no-brainer.
Yes.
That I joined. It was just like, well, yeah, I paid money to join, but I've just saved all the money straight away.
Yeah. Immediate returns, right?
Yeah, straight away. So it's like I didn't pay, but I've got it. Not for free, because it was about half the money. But then I've saved that on my next ones that I bought. I've not paid again. So if I didn't learn that, I'm probably up. I probably saved more money than I've spent on the academy over the three properties that I've purchased.
So the other properties also didn't have kitchens and bathrooms?
No, they didn't have kitchens and bathrooms. They had structural issues. So subsidence, insurance works had been done slightly on some. Paperwork wasn't all there.
Mm.
So that was that one was structural, and then the next one again is structural again. So I tend to sort of go with ones that I've got problems, bigger problems than little problems.
Yes, that's great, because a lot of people don't know that it can be waived.
Yeah.
And then solicitors don't really tell us that.
The solicitors try and get you to pay it and then claim it all back. But why would you want to do that? But then they're just covering themselves. From as far as I'm aware, they're covering themselves, because they get fined. If it works out that you should have paid it and you haven't, then they get a fine for not telling you to pay it, basically.
Right.
But as long as you do a waiver form, you're waiving it from them, so that it's not their fault. You're agreeing that you're not paying it, and this is the reason why, which is what I've done on the last one, is the reason why I was structural engineer. Reports have been done. Then there's follow-ups. It did have a structural adequacy certificate, but there was half the paperwork to match the certificate wasn't there. So we never had all the full details. Mm-hmm. So really then it's classed as still not structurally safe. Sure.
And don't you think these things should just be black and white, right?
It should be simple.
It should be yes or no. Yeah, and why is it so common? Why is there all this gray area and maybe and you have to sign a waiver and all this stuff? Yeah. Like, it's just yes or no, right?
Yeah. It should be. But
it should be. Like planning too. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you get planning all on this side, so you should get planning on this side of the street. But you have to go through a whole rigmarole, but it should be yes.
But the good thing about the academy is there is I only made a few phone calls straight away, straight onto the academy, onto the app, and then straight onto mentors. And as soon as you're speaking to different mentors, they've been there, done that. They've got the knowledge of it all. Mm-hmm. So they can help you straight away. So with a few phone calls straight away, and it was like, yeah, this is sound. I don't have to pay it again then. Yeah. No problem.
Were you in the academy before the app came out?
I guess
they had it on the portal. You can pull it up on a browser.
Yeah, I did, but it was a WhatsApp group when I joined it. The WhatsApp group just stopped.
That was a while ago.
The WhatsApp group had just stopped. I might have been a month or two in, and then the WhatsApp group, I got up in the morning, it was like, you've been removed. And I was like, hey. So I think the app had just started then, hadn't it?
Oh, yeah. Man. I think removing the WhatsApp group chat was probably one of the most controversial things.
Yeah.
And now we have Samuel Social, and that's nobody talks about the WhatsApp group chat. But that was one of the biggest cultural changes, and everybody was like,
I literally just got up and I was like, well, hey, what have I been removed? What have I done wrong here?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's when, so I joined, I think it was March last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, March last year. I think when the January crash course, and then March, I ended up joining fully.
Okay, great. Okay, so you join the academy.
Yeah.
And now you've got access to all these mentors and all this technology. And so, what are your first? What's your first deal?
So I finished off I ended up buying that Modern Method auction one, which was a 3-bed semi-detached house. Mm-hmm. I paid $128,000 for it. I then, because of the way that it was, I had to buy it. I thought I could just remortgage my house, and I couldn't. So I ended up getting a bridging loan, again, from advice from mentors. Got a bridging loan on it. And then I used my house as a collateral because I had the money in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I could use my house as collateral for the second charge. So I got a second charge on my house, which gave me the money for the deposit, the 25%. Mm-hmm. So then I could load that up and then the money for the refurbishment. So then it worked out. I'd done all that. It all went through fine. And then they have 12 months, obviously, they take the interest and stuff. You have 12 months then to pay that back off.
Mm-hmm.
So once I'd done all the work, I got it revalued. They come out and revalued it at 235. I paid 128 for it. They revalued it at 235, which actually I gave them the 235 figure.
Yeah? How'd you do that?
So just going off the comparables, but then I end up shortchanging myself on it because one sold for 280,000 across the road 2 weeks later. But it was slightly bigger than my one.
Mm.
But it was, and it was fresh, it was nice. But then one's just sold 2 weeks ago, 6 doors down for 260.
Mm.
So it's no big deal. But I remortgaged that in March, got all my money back, paid the thing off. And then that's straight on. That was on a standard buy to let. But then that's converting over now from standard buy to let, which makes about £400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's that turning over. I'm going to get it as a care home for the kids. So it's going to have one kid in it, two carers.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll double my profit then. So that'll be doubling my money on that one.
Sorry, and obviously, that'll be
doubling my money when I put.
No, before that.
Oh, the carers? So I'm going to put, because it's a care home, it'll have one kid in it and two carers living in
24/7.
So that'll end up doubling my profit. And then.
Why is that?
Just because they're going to pay more on the rent. Because obviously, because of what it's needed for, they'll pay more on the rent then.
So you're working with like a housing.
Yeah, it'd be provider. A house. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be a housing provider. Yeah.
Okay.
So with that property, then it worked out that I did all my money back.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'd made the mortgage on it now was 166, which was all the money back and paid off. Paid my original charge off on my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'd made about 74K, I think, profit in that. If it was at the 235, but now one's just sold for 260.
Mm-hmm.
So that works out just shy of 100 grand profit on that one deal.
Wow.
And then,
do you have to pay tax on that? The profit?
Not from what I took out, because I only pulled out 75%, but that's tax-free, isn't it? Mm. Because it's debt to the business to the house, yeah. So if I sold it, then I'd have to pay anything over what I've made, the 100 grand or whatever it is now. Then I paid the charge off on that, sold my personal house, which then turned into a flip because I weren't going to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I sold that for 270. After I'd paid the charges and stuff off, I ended up walking away with about 170,000.
Great.
I had put about 100 grand into it over the time. So about 70K profit on that one.
Mm-hmm.
When I've walked away with my money, all my money back on that, I've then purchased a another BRR, which this was a belter, this one. So it was up for 120,000. Gone from 120,000 out for 110. Mm-hmm. I got, because it was going to be a cash sale, I got, they accepted me instead of people that are putting in at 120 because they were about to mortgage. So I got it for the 110. Now, this has been previously listed and pulled out. Someone had pulled out at 130. Mm-hmm. It sold for, and someone had pulled out. They had a valuation, a RICS valuation on it and a survey, and it failed. But they didn't give the survey in to the estate agent, so they still didn't, was none the wiser.
It failed a survey?
It failed the survey. So I went, I went, right, I'll get me survey done and stuff, and it come back, it had had subsidence the year before, and the insurance work had been done, but not fully done and finished.
Oh.
So I ended up going back to them and said that they'd, because they decked all the backyard to hide where it had been underpinned.
Oh,
so I was like,
gosh.
Right, okay, they've been trying to hide something. They've not got all the paperwork there. It's they're trying to play games. So I ended up going back and I said I'd give them 85,000. I went back and said I'd give them 50,000. And they come back and said, no chance.
From 110?
From 110.
You're cheeky.
You've got to be cheeky.
You do.
If it's not low enough, you're not embarrassed to offer, then it's
that's not low enough.
Again, that's a quote off the academy.
That's right.
So I offered the 50. They come back and they said 80,000, otherwise they're going to rent it out. I then said to them, well, you're going to have to spend 7,500 just to get it into rentable condition. So they agreed at 72,500.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks down the line, still paperwork missing and stuff. So I went back again, said I'll give them 50,000 and I'll complete next week.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back and they said 63,000, otherwise they're going to send it to auction.
Mm.
So I said, okay, I'll accept the 63. That's obviously the lowest I can go now. So I then completed that with that.
Yeah.
Bought it cash. It worked out the works that had been done were sufficed. There was just a bit of extra stuff that needed doing. So I ended up redoing bits of work on the roof and then just general stuff everywhere else. There was bits of damp in there, but that was caused from the water coming in from the roof that was causing it all.
Mm.
So one thing caused another.
Yeah.
So as soon as we got to the root cause of it, fixed that, then solved the other problems. I ended up spending 5K on that.
5K?
5K.
That's crazy.
That's remortgaging and pulling 90,000 out of it. So
oh
I'll get
my
all my money back plus 20K, which again is debt. So it's tax free.
Yeah.
So then that is then leading me to my next one, which is in legals now.
Mm-hmm.
That was up for 140.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'd gone back. I'd said I'm about 80K. There was no offers on it for 4 weeks. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The estate agent ran me and said they want to sell, but they don't want to lower the price. They just want to get rid.
Yeah.
They're asking, would you spend about 100K? So I said, well, I'll put it into legals.
From 140?
From 140. They just wanted the quick sale. Well, you give them 100K. So I said, we'll put it in legals, but subject to me having a second viewing, because I'm sure I've seen something that looks like subsidence. So I want to go back.
Yeah.
So the next day I went back, really put it in memorandum of the sale, puts it straight into solicitors, agreed at the 100. I went back the next day, told them it's subsiding. It's too much. I'm going to have to knock it down. I gave him a breakdown of the costs. I think it was about just shy of 17 grand the costs. So I went back and I said, this is me offer 83,125.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'll have it for. And then he come back the next day and said, yeah, sound, you can have it. And then
you're a cash purchaser. So they just want to move. You're finding the right people.
Yeah. So, but then now it's just rolling on. It's just rinsing and repeating because the house that I paid the 63 for, that remortgage is going to pay for that one.
Yeah.
So I'm not even, it's just recycling that money. I'm not really spending my own money now. It's just, I bought the one and just keeps repeating.
Yeah.
And obviously each time I'm leaving 25% in. Mm-hmm. So the worst case, if I just decided I'm not doing it anymore, I can just sell everyone. I've got 25% in everyone, a minimum off.
Minimum.
So the latest one is, there's a house right across the road for 170,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's up for sale for 170,000 now. So I'm like, well, that's a 171 then. If that's 170, that's going to be 170.
Yeah.
I only need to spend about 30K on it. I had the structural engineer around the next day.
Mm-hmm.
As he's come round and he's looked at it, he's gone, it's not subsiding.
Oh, come on.
So I got the money knocked off for it subsiding.
You and got then 17 told, grand knocked off and it's not subsiding.
And then he said, it's not subsiding. It just needs some lintels putting in and some tie rods putting in. He said, it's not subsiding.
Oh my. So how much did you bought it for?
Just over 83.
83,125.
Yeah, I went in and it. So I'd done my quote for the subsidence. The exact quote, I didn't just go 16 grand or 14 grand or whatever. I'd done the exact quote and knocked that exact money off. So when I went back, I went with an exact figure and give them the reason why,
mm-hmm.
explaining that it's going to cost me this much to have it rectified. So that's how much I want knocking off.
Yeah. And is that something that you learned from mentors, or did you already kind of know that being from the trades?
So in being an electrician, we get calls all the time to do your electrical installation condition reports for people buying houses and selling houses. So depending on who rings us, I know what it's for. So if you were selling a house, you want it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you'll tell us that you're selling it. So can we be lenient? Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure everything complies to the regs, but we can just advise stuff gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you was buying the house, you'd say, Dale, can you go and do an electrical test on this? You want me to rip it to bits and go, it's failed because it needs this.
Mm.
So I've just implemented that along with the mentorship training to go, right, well, we can just do that on the whole property. So now when I'm doing them, I don't really get surveys done, but I advise everyone else, get a survey done.
Yeah.
Let them pick up, because the survey is just literally picking up on faults on the property.
Right.
Let them go and pick it all up. And if you've agreed your price now at, say, 100 grand, and then you get your survey done and it potentially needs £10,000 worth of work doing, just break it all down, list it all, go back to the seller and just say, it needs all this doing. And I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then you're only aiming, it might be a bargain at that price anyway, but if you can get a bit more off, it's a benefit, isn't it? It might pay for your solicitor fees or whatever.
I've actually
done that with a couple of other academy members.
Mm-hmm.
I've been speaking to them. I said, send me your RICS reports over.
Yeah.
I'll go through it and I will look at and highlight the parts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an idea of a cost.
Yeah.
And whenever I do that, I don't go back and go, it's £5,000. I'll give them like, it's going to be £4,000. I've done it the other day on one. It's going to be £4,920. You need this doing. 4 or 5 things. Went back. And then he came back to me and he said, thanks, Dale. We just got £2,500 saved on it.
Wow.
It literally took me 10 minutes. I just read the RICS value. That's the
power of the academy and the network, man.
Yeah, so that they saved £2,500 straight away.
Amazing.
And I've just done it with another one as well. But he's going to get builders. That's in Nottingham. So he's going to get builders out and get a proper quote after I've highlighted what the RICS seems like. I don't know what any of it is, so I just told him what it was.
Mm.
And he said, they'll get me builder there. And I said, just get a proper quote with the builders.
Yeah.
And he said, you can just forward that straight onto them if you want.
Yeah.
I said, but he said he's going to buy it anyway. He's happy with the price.
Yeah.
But I said, well, you might as well try and get something off it. Depending on what the seller's position is, they might be already had enough and they want to get out, which is obviously the very first one that bought at 63K. That's what they wanted. They wanted out straight away.
Yeah.
So they'd come down and down and down. But the other thing I do as well, just a little tip for everyone, is that if you're buying then and it's something like it's an offer on a landlord, I always look at what they purchased it for, just by going on Rightmove and find out what they purchased it for. So you know really what they can go to. Because they're always going to want the money back and they've probably got a buy to let loan on it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you can see what they've paid for it and then they've got these problems and it's causing them a headache, just you can still keep going down and down and down as best you can to get as close to that figure. Obviously, the one I bought in Grange Road, that one had gone, they paid 72 for it and obviously I got it for 63, so I went below.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that they had Circo in it originally.
Mm-hmm.
So they've made good money over the years. Yeah. Then it's had this big problem for them, so it's a headache there from London.
Yeah.
They just wanted rid.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. So you're there to help people. I'll put your phone number on everybody's speed dial.
Well, that's what the whole academy's for, isn't it? Is to help each other out.
It is. Actually, so, the person who we were just interviewing, Cash Cheviot.
Yeah, he's Manchester Inner Circle, is he?
Yeah, Manchester Inner Circle, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, who's next? And I said, Dale Carter. And he goes, oh, yeah, Dale's really good. And he said that he used to call you and you would help him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's what it's all about. That's the whole thing.
That's what it's all about. Can you tell me about your 10-bed apart hotel, please?
Oh, yeah. So I've recently gone into JV with Shannon Senior, which you'll know.
Yeah.
And we've got a 10-bed apart hotel in Rhyl, which she'd found, and then we ended up
Saying Wirral?
Sorry?
The Wirral?
No, Rhyl.
Oh, okay.
Rhyl, North Wales.
How do you spell? Oh, yeah. You already said that.
Rhyl in North Wales. Right. And where it is, the location of it is brilliant. It's right opposite a brand new theatre, right opposite a brand new travel lodge. And obviously, in the SA world, hotel, if you're next to a hotel, that is key.
That's the key, so right?
It's brand new. So obviously, they've got a lot of money to spend on due diligence.
Yes.
So if they've built a hotel there, that's obviously there for a reason.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. So Shannon had found a deal. We've ended up discussing about it. And then she said they've been sat there for a while. She ended up negotiating with the estate agents, got the rent down. Only by a few hundred quid, we ended up deciding we were going to go for it. And we JV'd on it. Obviously, Shannon brings the SA side of it with her having loads of SAs in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bring the maintenance side of it, any sockets and stuff like that need doing, any anything really that we sort of, my lads are multi-skilled, so we can do a bit of everything as well.
Great.
But obviously we're masters of electrics. Mm-hmm. So we end up with JV'd on it. And I think Shannon was down here in London at the time, and I took the keys. And then when I took the keys, there was beds there, there was TVs in the back of my van with pool tables. But then we ended up with just everything coming. Within a week, we ended up having it fully staged.
Within a week. A 10-bed. Come on.
And not only just that, I ended up in the loft. The loft was the biggest room in there. I ended up putting an ensuite in there because there was no ensuite in there.
Within that week's time.
And I was just like, contractors moving in there now. Uh-huh. That the money's going to be really good on this. Mm. So the contractors just moved in. They're booked weekly for 8 contractors. So they're taking the 8 upstairs rooms mm-hmm. at $2,850 a week. Mm-hmm. And then the apartment side of it, which got 2 rooms in down below with its own separate kitchen and everything, that's doing $3,000 a month. Mm. So the net figures on that should be about $10,000 profit.
Oh my gosh.
We've put in, between us, probably put in about $20,000. To stage it all and do all the works.
$20,000 in, yeah. So $10,000 each-ish.
Yeah.
And then you're going to clear $10,000 in this the first month.
Yeah.
Great. So 2 months in 2 months, money back, and yeah. then a cash cow.
Yeah, literally. And then when we actually got the keys on the Friday for it, the Saturday, the landlord actually come around, which we hadn't met because it was through an estate agents. Mm. And then he was just going through the cameras because the cameras were still linked to his phone. Mm. And he said that once you've got them on yours, I'll take it off mine because I don't need it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up taking him upstairs, showing him around, and he was explaining stuff to us. And then while I was speaking to him, I ended up saying, well, why don't you just sell it to us? And then he ended up agreeing to it. So we've ended up getting that on a lease option.
Oh, we're just my
waiting,
gosh.
We're just waiting on the price to be confirmed on it.
Yeah.
And then I've had him around again since later on, after we'd staged it all, he wants to come around and have a look. And he was like, you've done it top end compared to all the others around here. So he's really made up. And then he said, do you want some of my other properties? And he's got an 83 bed hotel down the road.
Oh my goodness.
That is out to the council on contract. But he's moving up to Tenerife. Well, he's got a place out in Tenerife now. Yeah. And he's starting to buy properties out there.
Yeah.
And he obviously wants to retire out that way. So he's starting to offload some of his properties. Yeah. And he's said that he's going to give us first refusal on them all. And he said they'll give us a lease option on his 83 bed, which is going to be mega. But again, we've got it's not agreed yet, but it's in the pipeline. We're having discussions about it.
And so lease. So what are the details of the lease option? So the 10 bed, what did you agree on for purchase price and how far down
we're looking
the line?
We've not got anything roped down yet, but we're looking about the £500,000, which isn't bad. Because again, I've done my research, and in 2009, when he bought it, he paid $370,000 for it.
Okay.
But then in theory, they should double in every 10 years. But I don't think it's really is a bit of a sticky place. It's not big capital appreciation. I think it's doing about 20% or something like that. So we're about £500,000 is about the right money for it, I think.
And how far down the line would that be?
It'll probably be like probably a 3-year contract because that's what we've got with the estate agents at the minute.
Okay.
But the reason why he's happy is because obviously he's come round and he's seen what we've done with it, the way that we've staged it, the way we've dumped good stuff in it. It's not it's not like a little cheap way of doing it. We've done it really nice, and we've ended up with the contractors saying that they're probably going to end up staying because the contracting agency who finds the accommodation, she's come out and she's like, is the best one in Bill. She went, we've had them in different places and we don't like it. She went, this is by far the best one in Bill. So she reckons she's going to give us people or contractors right through the winter and everything. There's a lot of work going on there for contractors now, which probably going to be our market to go to contractors. Mm-hmm. We've had an inquiry on there for next year already for 6 contractors from April to August. And that's coming in at $37,000, I think it is. Just for them 6 contractors, which means we'll still have rooms in the hotel above, and we'll still have the apartment. So it should be a good cash cow.
We should have a party there.
Yeah,
block it off for a weekend or during the week because we're all self-employed investors.
When we'd done the first, in that week when we'd done it, we did again because as you say, up at our end up north, there's quite a lot of us from the different inner circles, and we done a bit of an open house and had a few people around and stuff to run the hotel so we could run the showers and check anything or like this lock isn't working or anything like that. So it was a bit of a trial period for us where we had people staying over and it was like any issues, and we found out one of the taps in the bathroom was the hot and cold had been the wrong way around.
Oh no.
But it, obviously it must have been like that for years.
Yeah.
Because they just come down, there's no hot water.
Yeah.
And then we were like, we ran the bath and we knew that was all right.
Yeah.
And then it worked out that the hot and cold was the wrong way around on the taps. Yeah. But that must have been literally like that for years and years.
Yeah.
And well, we found out, so we sorted it. But that was the whole point of us having that sleepover thing, was so that people could
test it out for you, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Let me know when you want more testing, okay?
Yeah,
no, I need a vacation somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, so how, like, to go from 10 bed to 83 bed, that's quite a jump.
It will be, yeah. But, and I think we've got to make sure that the figures stack. And the good thing about it is, because it's already out to the council, if we can just sort of slot in there in the middle of it somewhere and get a chunk of money for it, then that's going to give us the deposit to actually purchase it at the end.
Right.
So if it works out that we don't really have to do much, which I don't think we will, if the council are taking it, as long as the figures are going to be right for us to take it over and to buy it, as long as that middle figure is we're making something, and we don't have to make anything and take it out now. We can just park it in the bank and just let it add up, and then once it's added up enough to buy it, then we can just purchase it. That's the plan.
So for people who don't know, what does it mean when the council's renting it?
So they normally take it on for the men's accommodation. So for, it might be for asylum seekers, it might be for homeless, it'd be for all various different things. So they end up, because that's such a big place, apparently they didn't want to take it all on, but then all the landlord done it. So it was okay, I'll just get another council to come and take some of it as well then. So they'll go 50-50 on it, and obviously the council that's there didn't want that, because the people that move into that area then are then that council's problems. So it was going to generate more. So that council actually rents the whole building, even if it's not full.
Wow.
So it's just like having a full building rented.
Yeah.
And it might only be half full, but they're paying for everything. So then obviously less maintenance, less wear and tear on it.
Yeah.
And you're getting full whack for it.
And so what happens if the property's damaged?
They do all the maintenance. They take it on as a full package. So you wouldn't have to do anything. I think the landlord's actually got a maintenance guy in there that works for him, and then the council paid the maintenance guys. So he's they've literally just sort of took over the hotel, and they just pay for everything.
Yeah.
Which is a good way of making passive income.
Wow. So this this landlord who's moving to Tenerife, does he have more properties like this? Is he
apparently
looking to...
he's got about 500 properties.
500 properties.
Yeah. So he's got
500 properties.
Yeah, he's quite well off, I think.
That's crazy. We were just talking to Faggy this morning, and she knows somebody who's got 800 properties. Like, who has all these properties?
I think this guy's he's got his head screwed on, because when I'm saying 500 properties, if one's an 83 bed hotel and one's a 10 bed hotel, there's got to be some. He's got to be worth a few quid.
Right. Okay. And then you, when you do purchase it, when the lease option goes through, you could get commercial valuation.
Yeah.
And
hopefully tart it up a bit, get the value up again more.
Yeah.
And then pull more money out. And guess what? It's debt. So it's tax free again.
There you go. My favorite words.
That'll just pay for the next one. And just keep rinse and repeat all the time.
So how big do you envision your portfolio to become?
As big as it can. Just keep going.
Yeah. No limit?
No limit. Yeah, just keep going.
Do you only want to do this? Are you interested in any other strategies? What about commercial? I mean, this is commercial, right?
Yeah, that's, no, well, commercial as in shops and retail and stuff like that is a very good option, because obviously, again, if you can get the right customers in, again, that just pumps the value of the properties up straight away. So it might not even be a massive shop, but if you've got someone like Subway or Domino's or the Co-op or anywhere like that, you've got them in. You charge them a bigger rent. They want the because they're after the location. Then that just pumps your property up, because obviously commercial valuation is off the rental. So it might only be a small property, but could be worth £1 million if it's rented out to the right people. So to be fair, I'm always open to any sort of properties that's going to, as long as the numbers stack. Otherwise, it's just onto the next, onto the next.
And so, your environment, obviously, your family, your friends, they've been supportive of you being an entrepreneur. And
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
They're backing me. They know exactly what my vision is. In 2-3 years, I want to sort of be able to just not do anything as such. But
sounds great.
Not do anything as such, but have everything running in the background. And as long as the money's coming in all the time.
Yeah.
And when I say not do anything, I just mean not be hands on. literally right. just make the phone calls and be like, right, you do this, you do this. Whereas at the minute, because it's just starting out, I am hands-on, I am at the properties, I am doing the work, doing the labour and stuff. But that's just to get it all rolling. And it is in place. It's all starting to come together. Mm-hmm. It's rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. The next one, again, it'll be a full renovation, but I'll be there. I'll be doing a lot of it myself.
Yeah.
I'll be putting the bathroom in. I'll be doing a lot of the work. But that's just to keep building the pot up so that once you're at a certain stage, you don't need to do that and you just pay people to do it. And you might not make quite as much money, but as long as the numbers stack at the end of it, it doesn't matter if you're not getting that full money out of it.
Right. Well, you kind of are still getting full money out of it because you're buying your freedom back, right?
Exactly.
And you're
which means I'm
time.
Looking for the next one.
Yeah.
Which means I get the next one and the next one and the next one each time.
Yeah.
And I might put offers in. I put offers in on properties all the time.
Yeah.
And they're mega low. But some of them come off, some of them don't. As long as at the minute they're just rinsing and repeating, then it doesn't really matter. Might be 10, 15 properties I'm looking at. And I'll offer on all of them probably. And even if it's not going to necessarily be the right thing to have, if my price is right, then it makes it the right thing to have. It might just be a standard three-bed house and you want 150, 160 grand, and if I'll just offer 100 grand. And if it works out, it's worth it, and I can get my money back, then I'll do it straight away.
Well, you come across as somebody who has confidence, right? You know your numbers, you know what needs to get done. And so you put in these below market offers. So for somebody who doesn't have that kind of base knowledge, who needs to build up their confidence, what kind of tips could you give somebody?
Well, the first thing they need to do is probably join the academy.
Yeah.
Because that will straight away, that'll open the doors as such for them.
Yeah.
Because it'll give you all the other people that have been there, done that. So, because if you're going in and you don't know anything about houses, you're going in there, you're going to go look at one that needs refurbishing. You haven't got a clue. You're going to miss things. You're not going to know how to stack it. You're not going to know how to add up what it needs. You might get a build around that just sees that you're fresh and you don't know what you're doing. They're just going to rip you off. There's, by having the accountability of being able to go to people straight away and find it out, there's the Rate My Deal and there's all sorts of that ads on Samuel's app that can help him on that. And obviously you've got the mentors on the end of the phone. So the first thing is knowledge, and to get the knowledge, it's the training.
Who's your favorite mentor?
I like Scott.
Oh, well, Scott graduated from mentorship and now he's training advisor.
Right.
But yes, he's very good.
I like Scott because he's got mega deals, hasn't he?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's like bonkers. Scott. Like, we giggle at how successful he is.
Also, Simon and Tatiana.
Yeah.
They're just like a team, aren't they? They're a team, but they bounce off each other all the time. And Simon's...
They need their own TV show, those two.
Yeah. Simon's little, but got massive ambitions. And everything he sees, he turns it into a big, massive project.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing.
He does.
And then Tatiana, obviously, solicitor.
Oh, powerhouse, right?
She gets used all the time. she's straight away phone calls.
You know, Samuel had to hire another solicitor.
Right.
Because she's so busy and there's so many academy members and we all have legal questions.
Yeah.
So so she brought in somebody else from her firm.
Right.
So now we have two solicitors from Tatiana's firm.
Right.
Tatiana and somebody else that she's hired. So yeah, we've got double the legal force now, which is right. really okay. good, right?
Well, that's a bonus.
I know.
I say Tatiana saved me 4 grand straight away.
So, I know. Yeah. So what else do you have in the pipeline?
So I had a meeting the other day from the electrical side. A landlord wanted me to go and do some electrical tests for him because he's renting his house out for have the electrical tests done. So I end up meeting him at Costa to go through them. It works out that he's got 3 properties, he's getting on a bit, and he's had enough. He's sold 3 or 4 off. And then obviously what they want to do then is because they're in personal names for tax reasons, is they want to offload them one at a time per year.
Yeah.
So one of them is a tenant's moving out this month, to the end of this month. So I went, that's not a problem. I said, we'll go look at it. And I said, well, are you going to sell it? He said, yeah. I said, well, if you sell it now, you're going to have to market it. You're going to end up losing out on 3, 4, maybe 5 months worth of rent. How about I take it straight off you? I'll rent it straight away. Forget your EICR. I'll do that for free. You know, that's a contest. I'll do that for free because I'll be taking it.
Yeah.
So he, and then I said, I've told him I've just put one in legal, so I've got to buy that one, refurb it, and then refinance it, which will then purchase this one. We agreed the price, which is just the standard price, really. I'm not undervalued or anything like that. It's not a below market value. But because I'm going to get the rental on it, he's then going to let me buy it. I've got to put it into legals within 6 months, he said. But then I can then have the next 2 off him, which are obviously each year. So he's going to give me lease options on them if I buy them at the same price. So and as soon as the tenants are out of them, I'm going to rent them. So I'll end up with three renters off him and we're purchasing each one each year going forward. So we've got lease options on them three.
Oh my God.
And really, so from in hindsight, as I was just going for the Costa and if I was still just concentrating on the electrics, I would have just been getting 500 quid out of him for doing some testing. Mm. Whereas now I've ended up with three properties that are going to end up cash flowing straight away as soon as I get the keys.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? It's because you now know all of these different strategies.
That's
right?
The problem. Otherwise, if I didn't know that, I would have just been in the rat race of being a 9-to-5 electrician still.
Yeah, active income.
Yeah,
trading your time for money.
Yeah, which isn't good.
No, well, now we're all clued in now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. So, for somebody who just wants to start out, what kind of tips would you give them?
Well, the crash course, the £1 crash courses are stopping, aren't they? So now they'll have to get invited from the academy members, but definitely 100% knowledge. 100% yeah. Knowledge is the first thing to do.
Yeah.
And then don't be scared, just do it.
Just do it, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Why do you think fear stops people from doing things? Like, what's the worst that could happen?
Worst can happen is you lose a bit of money.
Yeah, some people can't afford to lose money.
You have to learn to. If you don't take the risk, then you're not going to ever succeed, are you? So when that's I started true. My electrical business, I had two cars on finance and I just had a mortgage and I was like, I'm not doing that job, I don't want to do it. So if you don't want to do something what you're doing, if you don't want to do your 9-to-5, just look at what can be done and mm-hmm. just do it. If you're not prepared to do it, you're never going to be successful, are you?
Mm-hmm.
And was it 9 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can go wrong with property. The property, it's...
Love it, property.
Look at the history. It's facts, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just go up.
Yeah.
It's natural.
Yeah.
And when you're all going about it's going to have a crash and stuff, I personally don't believe that they will. Even in 2008, did they go down? No, they just went stagnant. And then they're all coming back up. I mean, some of them haven't recovered fully, but you're not really losing. All you do is you put them in for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a risk on paying 63 grand, one that might not be able to get remortgaged, but luckily I have. And I might have lost that 63,000 in that property, but in the long term things, it'll rent out for £900 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So in the long term, I'll have that back in 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's infinity. It's just going to keep giving me £900 a month, but it's not going to be 900 because in 8 years, the rents will be 1,200.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I might have tied 63,000 up in it now and took that risk, but it's worked out better for me than I'm getting all my money back plus 20K
mm-hmm.
and it's paying for another house for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get rental off that and plus rental off the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm doing serviced accommodations as well, it's going to give me cheaper rents.
Yeah.
Again, which is all knowledge from an academy.
What's more important, education or networking?
I think... education gives you the facts of this is what you do, but then I think networking is one of the biggest things on the Samuel Leeds Academy is the networking. Ridiculous.
It's pretty great, isn't it?
That's worth the money alone, in
my
opinion.
It keeps getting better and better.
It's just, it's ridiculous. And the people that you meet, and as you just said before, Kashaf was in and then he knew me.
Yeah.
Straight away, and people get to know what you do and how you do it. So then straight away, if they need help, they ring you. And if you need something, you know who to ring.
Yeah.
So from networking straight away just puts you onto people. With Shannon, I ended up meeting her at a Costa Coffee through a mutual friend who wasn't, so I didn't know that Shannon was on the academy and at the same time I was, but I ended up meeting him because it was over a deal, which ended up I went and I'd seen her, and then just because I'd done a bit of the different training to her, she had 100 contractors to house or something, and you're looking at getting caravans, and then I just said, have you got a letter of content? And she was like, no, I haven't got it yet.
What's a letter of content?
So that's them basically saying that it's definitely going to happen.
And oh.
So they're going to, you'll find the contractors, we'll give you the letter of content to say that we're going to book all them contractors in with you. And at the time, it was a deal source that was trying to pass it to Shannon. She was trying to find all the rooms, but never had the letter of content to be able to get guaranteed money off them. So it ended up, it drifted away, that contract.
Mm.
We then had, with the real property we've got, that contract come back into place, and he was trying to get us to house them.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted far too much stuff doing.
Mm.
He wanted all on the half landings. He wanted us to put cookers and stuff on, so we ended up never going with that. But that was £100,000 booking over, I think it was 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. But we ended up going with different contractors instead because mm-hmm. they wanted too much from us, and he wanted to put like 32 people in it, which we think would have been a bit overcrowded. So we went with a different contracting company instead. But again, all from networking.
Networking.
Yeah.
That's it. Great.
Massive ones.
And you're a networking ninja because I see you at all the inner circles, don't I? You're everywhere.
I try and get to most of the Northwest ones. I have just literally put on that I'm going to be a spotlight speaker.
You are?
Yes.
Which one?
I've just put on that I'm going to be one. So okay. I'm going to start going to the different ones and start trying to help people again. Like you say, that's what I want to do, is help people now.
Pay it forward, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it just comes, it's 100% just round in circles.
Easily.
You help someone, they'll help you back.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we'll see you at the inner circles. If somebody wants to connect with you, how would they do that?
Best way is Instagram. So it's Dale_Carter_Cheshire Properties.
Okay, Dale_Carter_Cheshire Properties. Yeah. Well, thank you very
much.
If
anyone needs anything, just give me a shout.
Amazing. Okay. Well, it's been really great hanging out with you.
Good.
And good luck with everything. You must let us know about the 83-bed property
that goes through. Hopefully that will come off.
Right?
I don't think it's going to be a quick thing, but hopefully it'll come off, yeah.
It's property. It's low, right? Yeah. But let Samuel know, because then he can send his film crew over and they can do a mini documentary.
I'm going to put on, really again, cool. with the Academy now, it's got the site visits, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So I should be getting the keys for another refurb by the end of the month. So I'm going to, because it takes about 4 weeks to go through to arrange the site visit, doesn't it? So I'm going to put on to try and get that as a site visit. So you can see it literally from scratch. It'll go maybe a back to brick refurb. Oh,
that'd be great.
And then that'll be going to an essay as well.
Nice. And then you can list your essays on the portal. So don't forget to do that too.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Carter. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And we'll see you later.
Excellent.
Thanks so much.